Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world. Hey guys, welcome back to Unpacking Design. Today is my topic for Mike.
And very exciting.
Yeah, I don't feel like I had a topic for a little while in terms of like the one today. So today, Mike, we're unpacking authenticity.
Okay.
And now authenticity can be seen in so many ways. So I'm going to try and get down to the area of it that I want to focus on. And there's two areas of it. The first is staying authentic in a world where our media is really controlling a lot of the things that people think and say and do.
Sure.
And then the second one is authenticity in the sense of design and how to stay true to your own product, your own brand, that kind of an authenticity.
Okay.
So I'll start with the second part. Recently, I started listening to a new podcast. It's called Clever, and it's a very good podcast that's about design. And it's actually hosted by a person who's on TV shows, reality shows, for I think home renovations and things like that. And the owner of Design Milk, I believe. So those two people are the ones leading the podcast, and they'll bring in designers and question them, ask them about their careers, their lives, their backgrounds. And in a recent episode, I haven't listened to the actual episode yet, but they actually felt the need to do a post episode for this particular topic. And it was one where the person that they just interviewed was talking about developing a product and designing a product from scratch, and it was one that they truly believed in, and they had this attachment to it. It's kind of like when you come up with an idea and you really think that it can help someone in a certain way.
Yeah.
And they developed this product all the way until the end where they started to actually make it and sell it to people, right? And I've heard this story multiple times where people develop the final idea, the thing that they can sell and give to people. And once it starts to gain popularity, larger companies see it. And when a larger company sees it, they'll start to manufacture it as well. And then they'll sell it as their own idea.
Right.
So in terms of authenticity in that perspective, I think it's an important one for us to talk about because everyone has some kind of idea that they want to try and make, whether it's like a design style, right? Or if it's an actual product. And eventually other people will copy it or they'll emulate it. And I think that there's a difference between the two words. When you emulate someone's style or their product, it means that you took some of the design features that you liked about it and then you refined it in a way that's true to you.
Sure.
Right? Whereas if you copy a product, you literally take the product and you just put your brand on it.
Right.
And so there's a difference between the two there. And in our world today, with how marketing and media is, everyone markets through open platforms like Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these big ones where everyone can see your idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it doesn't work the same as it used to in the past where you live in a little town, village, city, and you sell through word of mouth and local newspapers and things like that. Now you actually sell by having advertisements that everyone else can see. A good example of this is a sock company that was on a Netflix show about startups that I watched. And it was this little company that took, I think they took socks and they made it into wine bottle holders or something like that. And they started to stitch these textiles to make these wine bottle holders with really cool patterns on it that people loved. And they did this with high quality textile. The guy actually went to a textile manufacturer and learned how to use the machine himself to design and make these things. And as these wine bottle holders became more and more popular, a really big company basically stole the idea and they started marketing it as well with the same patterns, the same, everything was the same.
Right.
And eventually, in this person's case, their audience was so wide and they reached so far before it was copied where the audience started to post all over social media about the larger company copying the idea to the point where the larger company took the product down from their website. And so a lot of people don't have that reach though. In terms of designers like us, we don't have the ability to cultivate an audience like that quickly, So if we're releasing products into the world and eventually someone copies it, what can we do? And I don't know if there's an answer to that, but what's your take on all of this in terms of coming up with a product and having your idea stolen or emulating a product or, you know, in that sense of the word of authenticity, what do you think of our world today?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
There's a lot, so that's good. I think that, you know, when I think of authenticity, just to begin with, I think of people who are not trying to, I think of good versus bad in some ways. Like, mm-hmm. I think of the intent of what you're trying to do, not necessarily like to be authentically Mike LaValle is different than to be authentically Tim Ong. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the one kind of authenticity you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is intent of the purpose or the idea, the product, the design, the whatever, could be anything, of promoting something as though it is truly something you, not necessarily that you came up with by yourself, but that you have developed to some degree autonomously or on your own,
mm-hmm.
versus having, I think of stealing or I think of theft as like another word that makes something inauthentic,
mm-hmm.
where you're talking about taking somebody's idea to the point where you haven't separated it enough from the original intent. So the first thing that came up to my mind when you started talking about this, and I had no idea you were going to bring this to the table, is Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon.
Yeah.
It's the first book I thought of. It's the first idea I thought of where, you know, the thesis there is essentially that you, like a truly good artist kind of picks pieces from something but then makes it their own by infusing their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're talking about there is really more of like almost like a copyright issue,
mm-hmm.
Where people start getting into these like very gray areas of like who owns the intellectual property, who owns the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to disseminate or to understand who does if you put your own spin on it, and not just put your own spin on it for spin's sake, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But to do it in a way where I think you can differentiate it and put your own stamp on something.
Yeah.
You know, I think of just because it's closest to what I'm doing every day, is I think about buildings and I think about how architects sometimes squabble over intellectual design properties, and like how do you say that the design of a building, for example, is categorically different or more authentic than another building?
Right.
You know, it's really difficult to do that because at some point there are so many moving pieces that I can't just say like this building is truly my own and
yeah.
I own the copyright to it, or I own the look and feel of it to a degree where you can't copy it at all.
Right.
Like, I don't think that to some degree that doesn't exist.
Right.
Because if that did exist, we would be in a lot more trouble than I think we are.
Right.
But if you're talking about something where it's more discernible as a product or a thing, I think the conversation becomes more, especially something that is that you can replicate,
mm-hmm.
something that you can make over and over again. I think the question becomes much more interesting because you can literally put one product A next to product B and say, is this, first of all, is this the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they just like literally changing the packaging,
yeah.
and ripping the first designer off? Or is it something that, you know, they did something that's a little bit different, and it really can't, you can't really say that. The conversation for me, though, is just, it comes down to intent. It comes down to was this person maliciously taking the idea and the design and saying, you know, I'm literally going to pass this off as my own?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think you can argue that as, on some level, no idea is original.
Mm-hmm.
There just are no original ideas. We've gone through too much human history for there to be any truly original ideas. They're mm-hmm. ideas that are built and layered upon over time.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to know from your point of view, like, where do you, kind of getting back to the, even like the example that you had, like, where do you think it starts and stops in terms of being authentic? Or, like, I don't know. It's such a gray area for me. Like, mm-hmm. unless you know both parties' intent, there's no way of knowing, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know where you're going with it. And there are a few things that based on what you were saying, I thought of. One of them is when you were talking about intellectual property. The interesting thing about the design profession, especially if you're in, like, fashion design, is that I don't think you can actually patent an idea based on fashion.
Right.
I think there are laws against you actually patenting. You know, you can't draw a dress and say, well, this is my design, right?
Right.
And so anyone can copy that dress. What they can't copy is a logo. So when you see, like, a Louis Vuitton t-shirt that has Louis Vuitton all over
right.
it, if someone copies the logo and reprints it on a shirt, then they're literally copying a logo. So they're just selling you a brand. And if someone draws a dress and they want to claim it as theirs, they really can't. Like, I could go and make the same dress, and really there's very little that someone can do as a designer to fight against that.
Yep.
That's why the idea with the wine bottle holder that's a sock is one that I thought was very interesting, because that is also, it falls into that same fashion category of not being able to be claimed as an intellectual property. In architecture, we deal with the same thing too. And the most recent one that I can think of is a case where a claim was actually made, and I don't know what came of it, which was with Zaha Hadid's firm. Mm-hmm. Their firm designed a particular type of building that a company, a developer company in China, ended up copying, I think. And they copied it down to the detail.
Wow.
And they were just rebuilding it in China. And I think there was a claim made between the firm and the developer. So it happens everywhere. And I agree with you that if it's literally someone copying an idea just to make it for their own profit and benefit,
yeah.
without giving any credit to the person that did it, or even calling and telling the person that they're taking the idea from and asking if it's okay, I think it's incorrect. Like, it's something that shouldn't be done.
Sure.
At the same time, you can see a good way of doing it. And maybe Apple doesn't do it all the time, but when you think about a good example from my research recently is the Hermes watch straps for the Apple Watch series. They actually collaborate with another company to make specific watch straps for their watches. And to me, Apple could have went and just designed their own watch straps, or they could have went and just copied right. everyone's watch strap, and they could have just taken over that whole business. But that's not their thing. And because it's not their thing, they reached out to people who are known for it, and they've asked that person or that entity to design it for them.
Right.
To me, that's a better collaborative effort, right? It's like when you can collaborate with the designer who you admire or whose work you want to have as a part of your collection,
yeah.
that becomes a different, an entirely different way of approaching this idea of authenticity.
Yeah.
Although it's not your idea, you reached out to the person, so now you're in relationship, in a closer relationship with them. So their product becomes a part of your line too. I think that's a better way of doing it in lieu of, well, this is a new idea that I think we can profit from. Let's just take it and run with it.
Right.
Right. And it's a bigger issue today because everyone's starting to be a copier. So if we translate this authenticity idea into a person-to-person basis, on Instagram, I'm starting to see a lot more people emulating and following a lot of other influencers on Instagram
yep.
and just doing exactly what that person does.
Right.
And I feel like that is an area that I'm starting to feel negative towards, you know, like when I see someone copying a popular person and what that popular person is doing, I always feel like, wow, you know, like I hope this person is doing it because they truly enjoy it. right? A big one is people who are constantly traveling and taking photographs of themselves or of locations and really trying to express that they are having the same lifestyle as someone else in lieu of actually having that lifestyle themselves, you know? And I wonder if there are people who go into debt because they're trying to use the platform to showcase a lifestyle that they don't really have.
Sure. You know?
I guess that's where I'm going with the authenticity on a personal level between people.
Yeah, and there's a couple things that I think of. I actually was having this conversation with somebody else the other day about something, a completely different topic, but I think it still applies. Have you ever seen the Pixar movie, The Incredibles?
Yeah.
So the thing that it's like one of those quotes that you like hear, and it's like really profound in the moment, and like it sticks with you.
Yeah.
But there's this character, Buddy, and this is semi-spoilery, so
yeah.
Hopefully you've seen the original Incredibles 14 years ago,
yeah.
Because, spoiler alert, Buddy is this kid who really likes this superhero, Mr. Incredible,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to emulate him, and he just wants to be a superhero. He wants to have superpowers, mm-hmm. and like he wants to he authentically wants to be a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up being the supervillain in mm-hmm. the movie because later, as Mr. Incredible sort of like there's a time jump in the movie, and mm-hmm. like it's later in his life, and there's this quote that he has after he's kind of revealed to be the villain, and he does create this personality called Syndrome,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, he has like rocket boots and he doesn't really have like true superpowers,
yeah.
but he's like trying to like be the superhero,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up being the villain.
And then he created the monster.
Right.
That, yeah. Yep.
So he's trying to play as though he is this fantastic person, but what becomes distorted and twisted is the way that he goes about it, and it seems sort of like this weird metaphor for, you know, like trying too hard to
mm-hmm.
be something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this one quote that stands out to me, and he's like, you know, if everybody is super or everybody is special, then no one is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I think about just in general terms, you know, because if ever everybody tries to be, I start to think about what authenticity really is
mm-hmm.
in general, because I start to wonder, you know, if everybody is different. I'm not saying that everybody,
mm-hmm.
and that's sort of like a given that I think, while it's this nebulous sort of like feel good thing to say, everybody really is different. They have different experiences. They have different ways that they grew up. They have different ethnicities, cultures,
mm-hmm.
backgrounds, whole nine yards. And those factors can't be replicated. Like, even amongst family members, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have a sibling that is completely different than you, but grows up almost exactly the same. And I just start to think about, like, how many factors there are to make somebody truly, like, what does authenticity, this is so, like, larger idea here, but, like, what is authenticity? Like,
yeah.
I'm just sitting here thinking of, like, what truly is authenticity?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, is it just something that we have to have in our lexicon of
mm-hmm.
of descriptors so that, you know, something, we can describe something as authentic because it just happens to be more unique than something that is quote-unquote cookie cutter or
mm-hmm.
something that's been replicated 1,000 times before.
Yeah.
And then what is the value that we put on something that is truly authentic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it just means to be a standout that breaks the normal molds, but that seems like too easy of a way to describe it, you
mm-hmm.
know? I think that I, on any given day, can be authentically Mike LaValle,
mm-hmm.
but does that make me any more or less authentic than somebody who, in their own way, breaks out and becomes something special in their own field or in their own life. You know, like, it doesn't have to be just somebody that we aspire to or know. And we might happen to know them because they were more quote unquote authentic. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just kind of like spitballing here. But like, part of what I'm interested in as we kind of break this down more is, does everything need to be authentic? You know, and then if it does, what is it authentic just to ideas and designs, or is it I really think for me it comes down to intent. Like, there's positive intent and there's malicious intent, and you can distort your intent. Like the character of Buddy that I just described goes down the wrong path. His intent originally starts out good, and then it gets twisted and becomes this other thing. And I just wonder if, you know, you go back to the example you had, and where this company just starts making this other thing over and over and over again. That doesn't seem like a particularly like positive intent or way to go about something. And it seems like it's going for just trying to either make the quick buck or profit off of somebody else's intent. I mean, just in general, it's a fascinating topic because I don't know if there's any. We're not going to come to like, this is the answer.
Yeah, no, I don't think we will. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up as a topic is exactly what you were saying, that authenticity is a more recent terminology that's becoming a big thing.
Sure.
And it's only becoming a big thing because it's to prevent it's people trying to tell others to stop chasing something that's not their own dream.
Right.
And I think that's what it ultimately comes down to, that to be authentic, you have to have your own ideas. You have to have your own position. You have to have your own opinion. You have to have a perspective. You can't just agree with others. You can't be the, you know, like on politics, you can't just be the person that's agreeing with the winners, right? Or like, if there's a football team that's winning now, you can't just be that fan. You're not authentic. If you, like, I don't watch football. So when people ask me, hey, who's your favorite team? I don't just say, oh, it's whoever's the winner.
So now you bring up a good sort of wrinkle to this conversation. I don't care about sports.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see you particularly as a sports person either, and you kind of just said that. Living in Buffalo, and this might irk people.
This came like, up for, recently for me, too. I know where you're going with it.
I don't care too much about whether or not, like, certain teams win or lose. I really do enjoy watching football sometimes. But, like, the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres are, like, just historically not winners. They're just not. And the thing that I think about, like, it would be inauthentic of me to be, like you said, to be that super fan, because I'm just not. And it, partially that's because I, in being authentic to myself, I don't try to pursue things that I'm not interested in.
That's right.
So I am not a sports guy, and therefore I don't, like, I realized at some point I would need to become very much more invested in order to really engage myself and enjoy the sports. I can't find enough time for the stuff that I really am enjoying. So I don't try to like push that on myself or force myself to be a sports fan.
And I also, for me, I don't jump into a conversation that I know nothing about. And try to pretend that I know about it. You know, and I think that's the bigger part of being authentic. It's that as a company, if you don't have your own product and you just are siphoning products from people that you see doing well and trending on social media, your company, it shouldn't exist anymore, right? If you didn't take the time to reach out and understand the product before you put it on your line. At the same time, as a person, if you don't have your own perspective on the world and you're going out there and agreeing with people because you want to be a part of a larger thing, then eventually it'll come out. Someone will know. And and it leads to this idea that people are following now, which is the fake it till you make it movement of like, you have to really be, you have to act a certain way and eventually you will become that. There is some truths to it, but there's also a lot that I'm starting to find as being a big negative impact to a lot of people's lives. One of them is, and I think we talked about it on a different episode before, where there is a YouTube video from Vice that follows people in Florida, people who are in the luxury car rental business.
Okay.
And there's this one company that does it, that's their thing. That's like, they've done it all the time. They have an actual business, incorporated business, and they lease it out. They have their own insurance and all this stuff. Then there's this one guy who's faking it till he makes it, right? And he tells the camera crew, hey, I have like 16 Lamborghinis and this and that. And the way that I started out was I would rent a car from a different rental company because I was able to, and then I would lease it to someone else or sublease it. And then he starts to lie to the camera throughout the last 10 minutes of the thing. He was like, I'm on DJ Khaled's label of We The Best music. And, you know, like he was like implying that he was this famous guy and everyone knows him. He was going into clubs and saying that he knows the rappers who are in there, and he didn't really know them. They didn't even know who he was. And at the end of this video, Vice, they asked all of these different labels that he said he was a part of, and they asked all these different companies that he said he was a part of if they knew him.
Right.
Every company denied affiliation with him and ever knowing him and knowing who he was. And they put that at the end in the credits. And to me, that's kind of an area where I think is dangerous for people to enter as like a personal thing.
Right.
Because if you're faking it to that level of constantly lying, when do you become a true person? And I think that's the deeper part of being authentic.
Yeah.
There is no fake it till you make it if you're constantly lying.
Right.
Like I can't just tell someone that I am a famous architect who has designed all the buildings that you can name.
Right.
And then they do a quick Google search and they find out, wow, I'm a nobody, right? It's like you can't do that, because when people, when it reveals itself in the future, you've just lost all of the potential clients you could have had, all the friends you could have made, and all the real people who could have been around you.
Yeah.
You know, and it was true with this one person. You can tell throughout that entire Vice video that he wasn't actually authentically happy.
So one thing that I'm noticing a lot, and we've talked on the show, off the show, about like how well the economy is doing right now.
Yeah.
Do you think that plays a factor into what is happening? Because, and the reason I bring that up is right now we are having the most growth we've had. I don't know what the statistics are, but the most consistent growth in the U.S. in a long time, if not ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're due at some point to have the lash back and to have some sort of dip.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that because of the rise of like Instagram and Facebook and social media, I'm thinking specifically of like Instagram, that because we're on this positive wave, and because Instagram is on a positive wave, mm-hmm. and it's been growing really well and steadily for a long time, that part of the sort of, at least I guess more of a statement, I'm seeing a lot of authentic or inauthentic people. They're not necessarily inauthentic from the sense that they're faking it till they make it, but they feel like carbon copies of everybody else who's already tried to do something. Mm-hmm. So like the thing I notice is every time I put out an Instagram post, and I don't have a huge Instagram following by any means, but if I do certain hashtags and I put them in there, and I bet a lot of people can relate to this, you just start getting these like gurus that like are trying to like follow you or like your stuff because they are trying to almost like capture you into their web or their umbrella of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that the intent there is always malicious, but I just feel like I see so many of the same kind of people. Like I happen to have entrepreneur as a descriptor in my profile. Mm-hmm. So I get way more people that like, quote unquote, like or follow my stuff because they're also entrepreneurs or they're like social media experts and they want to help me. Like you'll get follow-ups and stuff like that. And it's like, I just don't know. I don't have any context for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm asking is, do you feel like the those people are kind of coming out of the woodwork right now because everything is much more positive in some way, and the environment allows them to kind of grow right now. Because I'm not convinced, I guess my point is that this would necessarily be happening if we were in a dip where they actually have to do something to really make money or really sustain their lives.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it, and that I never thought about it in that way. But yeah, I would think so, because there are a lot of people out there, and this is one that you and I joke about every now and then.
Yeah.
But there are people out there claiming to be life coaches, and they're 16 years old. There might be a 16-year-old life coach who's been through like a significant part of their life, and they can help someone through that the same thing that they just went through. But there are also 16-year-olds who haven't done much.
Right.
Like, they're still in high school, but they're claiming that they can coach you for your business, and they never owned a business, right? Yeah. And to me, that's something that is inauthentic, and that's something that, based on our economy, going back to what you're saying, if someone just left their job because they heard that a life coach makes a lot of money.
Exactly.
And then they entered that part. I think that's terrible, because if we were in a dip right now and they didn't have money and they didn't have clients, they'd have to face reality. And they'd have to, they wouldn't be able to keep it up.
Right. I think the way that I see it is that if, for example, you have a thriving business right now, but it's based off of something that is more authentic than other things. And meaning, like, you have a quality product you're bringing, or a quality service that you're bringing from, again, a good place of intent.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's designed well, or it's built well, or it's marketed well, and you're not some sort of sleazy used car salesman trying to just pawn off something,
right?
You are way more likely to be able to feel and like, or to shield yourself from the brunt of what the impact is going to be when there is a dip.
That's right.
So I think of authenticity from the best of places, not only like it has repercussions, not only for you as your moral compass, but it also has real life implications of, if you're doing something authentically, it's more likely that you'll survive the ups and downs of time, in whether it's in business or otherwise, because somebody can see that you're truly trying to either help or do something positive or whatever, and not that you're just trying to game the system.
Yeah,
I feel like the intent, and that's the word I just keep coming back to, is everything.
Yeah.
You know, what are you trying to do? If I'm trying to impress people because they're sports people and I'm not, it's going to become very obvious that I know nothing about and whatever they're talking about.
I think you hit a good point there, which is that, and you didn't necessarily say it, but all of this takes time. And what everyone's trying to do is take a time travel vehicle to getting the thing that they ultimately would have made, or the thing that they would have become, and do it now. And this idea of now, I think, is where I'm starting to have issues with finding authentic people.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like I go out and I'm like, you're not authentic. everyone to me is authentic. But there are people that you see when you're on social media that you're just like, is this really, you know, is this person really living that lifestyle? Is this person really doing this or that? And at the end of the day, I think it's important for us to flip this and to talk about how authenticity can influence your life in a better way by just being yourself.
Right.
You know, and a good way of explaining it is through Mars Leather Company. When I started that, I didn't know anyone. I didn't look at other things and say, oh, I have to copy this guy's product because he's doing well. This guy has 100,000 views or followers on Instagram. Let me copy all of it. I didn't do any of that. I was just like, what products do I want to make? What am I interested in? Started making it, started sharing it. Then eventually people noticed. I got featured on pages and here and there. And then now I actually have communities where I can post something and get interactions with others. To me, the feeling of that is a lot better than posting something and people saying, oh, it looks good. And then just saying, I would buy one, right? And then like you sell it and it's just like this very short-lived relationship. Like, I'd rather have these long-term relationships over the short-term ones. And I think that's what authenticity affords me in that sense of like the business side of it.
Right.
And personally, I think it helps me find friends that I'm actually genuinely interested in and comfortable being around.
Yeah.
Like I've seen people who tried to fit in as I was like in school and other places. And even now I'll see people try and fit in. And when I see them, you can tell there's always this facade that they have to carry. And it, yeah. doesn't it get tiring? Like that's the question I always want to ask them. Like, aren't you tired right. of having that facade all the time? It must be heavy to have to carry the burden of being someone that you're not
yeah.
and trying to fit in because of that.
I think of, we're talking a little bit of the bad side of this, but I also think that there's a positive swing to what's happened in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And maybe even longer, maybe like 20 years. You know, there's a five, six year age gap between us. So mm-hmm. I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
But I think we generally come from the same time period, right? And the thing that I think of is like 15, 20 years ago, nerd culture was not a thing.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Nerd and culture as in like if you're nerdy, it's like there's a group yeah. for it and all that, yeah.
Yeah, and like even like video games and you know, fantasy, sci-fi, all that stuff. It existed. There were people, you know, maybe the ultimate nerdy thing is like Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. you know, as like a thing that people assume is just like for nerds only, mm-hmm. you know. But now it's almost like cool to be a nerd. Mm-hmm. It's like there's like this like flip on its head.
Yeah.
And I think that you're starting to see that even though there are the people in the out in the fake it till you make it, there's also this other groundswell of people who are being authentically them because society is allowing certain things like nerd culture and mm-hmm. and those kinds of interests to pop up, and you know, everybody is more accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes this is just getting like deeper and deeper, but sometimes that acceptance is also fake. Like some people are like faking their acceptance of other people.
Yeah.
But I think that the fact that that's even happening at all means that there is more, like I feel I can talk more about my interest in like the stupidest things.
Yeah.
You know, like I really enjoy and I like the show Smallville,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like one of the, it's like in some ways it's like the most silliest show ever,
yeah.
right? But it's something that I have like an authentic passion for mm-hmm. that I don't have with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that these are like very simple things to talk about, but yeah. it's the same way when you talk about my authentic interest in certain kinds of design and
yeah.
ways of designing and things that I think are just like stupid and like yeah. things that we shouldn't be like using anymore.
Yeah. And I think it's a good point that I wanted to end on, which is, you know, I know throughout this whole episode we were talking about like the bad side of it, and we were really right. like going on about, you know, people who are not authentic should not do it anymore. But in reality, there are a lot of good things
yeah.
about this swelling of people who are now trying to join a movement,
right?
Right? In the past, people would never want to join movements. They'd be more inclined to be secretive and just be themselves and like do things every day on their own and not yeah. be a part of a community or not be a part of this online social media group.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people join groups that they feel attached to.
Yep.
Now, they might not be 100% into that group because they don't know enough yet.
Sure.
Right? So let's say you're a young person who just graduated college and yeah. you don't really know your way around. Well, if you don't know your way around and you're trying to find that area for you, it's not bad to try and join a community and learn from that community
yep.
and eventually become a part of it and then eventually lead it, right? It's actually helping a lot more people find their paths in life and to find the things that they can be authentic about. Like people, I would even use the leather things that I'm doing now as an example. Like, I've always thought of doing it, but I was so afraid to do it, right? But now that I see so many more posts about people doing it, I'm like, wow, there is kind of like this market and this group out there for it. Why don't I try it? And yeah, when I started, I sucked. I was terrible. I was just like, wow, this is just bad. And eventually, I got better and better. And as I got better, I found my niche by yeah. doing that. These days, there's a lot more of a chance for you to find your niche and to find your group and to find the authentic things that you care for by just joining these places and trying to be a part of it. I think what you and I are saying through this episode is that you shouldn't make the leap and try and shorten the duration of becoming something by lying and saying that you are that thing.
Yeah.
If you only spent a minute or an hour listening to someone else talk about the benefits of becoming that person and then trying to become it. It takes time to become that person and to become trusted and to become someone who has the experience to take that role.
Yep.
Right? Everyone who is authentic has taken that time to become the experts in that role.
Right.
And I think it would be wrong of people to try and like expedite it by shortening that time frame to an hour to set up a website and call yourself something that you're not.
Yeah, I think building on that, that's a really important point, is that authenticity comes from, again, it comes from intent. So like if you admit that you are not the super expert in whatever you're talking about, but you're really interested in that topic, you may not, but you might get people who follow you or that want to talk about what you're talking about, and then you create dialogues that way. You don't have to be, in my opinion, you don't have to be the person who's like leading the profession or leading the discipline of whatever you're talking about or leading all of the discussions. You're just curious, and you're trying to or you need to be curious in a way where you are engaging in certain conversations, and that might be authentic enough. You know, you don't have to be at the end of your journey in order to be authentic. And I think in a lot of ways it would differentiate and in some ways make you more authentic to just show people your process as it's happening. Like, don't worry about the end.
It would
actually accelerate the process that you're trying to get to in the first place if you were just engaging in the now rather than the future.
And so I think for me this is just an episode that I've constantly wanted to bring up, but I didn't feel like it was one that we can talk too much about. But after some time and some thought, I was like, you know, it's one that it's a topic that everyone is curious about today, and everyone wants to be authentic, and everyone wants to find that thing that makes them who they are.
Right.
And I think ultimately it's not something that you find by just saying you're that thing.
Right.
It's one that you have to find by doing. Yeah. And I think that's what this episode really gets to. And whether you're starting a business and you want to have a product that's similar to someone else's that you saw, it takes time, and you have to learn more about why that product exists and how you can make it your own.
Right.
So, all right, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.